after learning what is medical research, let us understand and learn about one of the most important hospital operation, and that is casualty and emergency medical service. Well, why it is important? Frankly speaking, in today's world, we are seeing two problems. One is vehicular traffic is increasing day by day. If you see the automobile industry all over the world, the inventory of cars is increasing day by day all over the world. Number of people traveling by cars, public vehicles, is increasing exponentially, and you can see traffic everywhere. Most of you people who are staying in Mumbai, you must have observed how much traffic you are getting day by day. And partly the number of vehicles are more, maybe partly due to rain, etc. There are potholes and there are speed limits, of course, which has to be kept. And of course, the people who are not having the right kind of citizenship value, they are misbehaving, they are taking the traffic in such a way, they are driving their vehicles in such a way that they may be coming in the reverse way, they may be changing their lanes left, right and center, they may not be following the traffic signal systems, etc. And ultimately there is a chaos many times on the road, and which is responsible for getting more accidents. And daily you may be reading in the newspaper that in such and such an area there were accidents, so many people have got lot of injuries, lot of deaths have occurred, and this is a daily aspect, it is not once in a while. Then there are some festivals which are occurring where also you can see. In India, at least, we are considered to be Utsava Priya Janaha. That means all our people love to celebrate various kinds of festivals. And we not only celebrate our own festivals, but we celebrate all communities' festivals here. Say, Ganpati. It's not only celebrated by Maharashtrians, but all communities and all caste and creed people at times. And people are doing this with so much of enthusiasm, which may have some positive aspect also, but at the same time there are negative aspects also with that, with stampede occurring in the big queues occurring at Lal Bagh and other places, and Dahi Handi, which has gone recently, where we have seen people are climbing one over the other to celebrate Dahi Handi festival. And every year you must have seen many people coming to hospital having multiple fractures, deaths, etc. also. In Holi, people are using some of the colors which may be poisonous chemicals which are falling in the eye. People are losing eyes. People are having problems of the poisonous colors. So then comes the Diwali festival. There also we have seen many times disasters occurring due to the firecrackers leading to fires, which can be a major problem at times. If you see the Burns Hospital in Bombay, we have got a National Burns Hospital in Airoli, and I know he is my friend, and we are seeing a lot of patients coming during this festival time in such hospitals. Industrial burns are also well known. Chemical burns are known. Multiple industries are coming up where they are unorganized, they are not taking care of their employees, they are not having adequate safety precautions. The construction work is going on in an unorganized fashion without having proper course set given to them when they are working at height, and the fall from a height is more or less 100% death many times, or multiple fractures. So due to increased vehicular traffic, increased industrialization, the behavior of the patients which are not right, they don't behave safely at times. People try to take shortcuts. You have seen the people crossing the railway tracks. without observing any rules or regulations at times, and people have died on the railway tracks. People have lost their limbs, fractures, amputations have occurred. If you see Sion Hospital, that's they have got an acute trauma center where probably daily you may be seeing such kind of patients coming from all over. So one can see how many patients are getting accidents. Then comes the diseases. Some of the patients have got acute disease. Now this may be due to an accidental spill of a chemical, or it can be due to, say, some oil or something falling on the road which has led the road slippery, or there can be major potholes on the road and a person can just fall inside. We have seen the example of a gastroenterologist falling in the manhole which was opened during rainy season, and then he died. So you can understand such kinds of accidents are there, which are occurring day in and day out. Similarly, people are suffering from acute diseases. Recently you have seen corona, where it was not diagnosed in the first epidemic that we got, and in second epidemic also we have got a lot of deaths due to delayed diagnosis and then treatment, not adequate treatment required, or at times even the medicines were not available. So there are multiple factors where there can be acute diseases, say status epilepticus, where a person is suffering from epileptic fits and he gets suddenly into a status epilepticus where he needs emergency treatment. Unless it is given, he may die. Similarly, tetanus, rabies, where if it's a major bite by the dog and the care is not taken, snake bite, all these things can lead to death of a person within a short time. Say in case of snake bite, there can be a neurogenic shock which is occurring, or a cardiogenic shock which is occurring. It can be affecting the blood vessels or the nerves. Similarly, some people may get Guillain-Barré syndrome and the respiratory muscle paralysis can occur. Some people may have acute exacerbation of the asthma where no drugs are acting and they may need emergency treatment of admission, oxygen and various other treatment. Many times they may go into acute respiratory distress syndrome. You have seen this in H1N1, swine flu, even in corona. So these cases require urgent treatment where casualty and emergency medical services are a must. In case of stroke, it's a golden hour. Within 1 hour, they have to be treated. In case of acute myocardial infarction, when there is a ventricular fibrillation which is occurring, you have to give the treatment within 4 minutes. So you should have emergency medical service equipment available, like AED also, at the site, or within a minute or so you should be able to get it. So CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation and AED, these are the things which are required in the emergency, and hence emergency medical care along with the casualty department in a hospital, where even it can be extrapolated to the community as well with cardiac ambulance and other things. It helps us in treating the cases for accidents as well as acute diseases promptly, to save the lives, to prevent the complications, and to increase and make the quality of life better for future. So that's the importance of casualty. So here you can see the picture of how the casualty patient, how the casualty department is having all the equipments for the patient to be treated urgently. ECG machine, a crash cart. Suppose a person is injected and he gets anaphylactic shock, you should have oxygen, adrenaline, all the emergency medicines, atropine, anesthetist should be available to do the emergency laryngoscopy or intubation, ventilator, etc. So lot of things are required in today's world for treating emergencies, which is there in major hospitals in their casualty department, which runs 24/7 by expert doctors, where anesthetist is available, orthopedic surgeon is available round the clock. The casualty medical officer is there, who is trained in various things. Intensivist can be available whenever need arises, and even primary angioplasty, angiography, angioplasty is done nowadays. Even the stroke treatment is done within few minutes of arrival to prevent the worsening of the disease by taking CT scan, and then in case there is thrombosis, there is no hemorrhage, and immediately the injections, required injections, etc. are given to prevent the further worsening of the patient, and maybe there can be cure within few hours or few days by the, for the patient, which is a wonderful thing that is occurring. That's why we say we should have a casualty department attached with various advanced facilities available for taking the prompt care of the patient, and that's going to help us in a long way. So let's understand where the casualty should be located in our hospital. It should be on the ground floor, as you know, because patients are going to come in ambulance, maybe in any other vehicle, and they need prompt treatment. They cannot go in the lift to go up. Suppose somebody is having a heart attack, he cannot be exerted, or he doesn't have time. Time is life in this case. So unless you are treating the patient soon, the patient may not survive. Let me give you an example. When I was an intern in 1981, where I did my MBBS from Nayar Hospital, and I was having my internship in Rajavadi Hospital at Ghatkopar, which was attached to Nayar in those days, I was doing a night duty along with my casualty medical officer. And my casualty medical officer has been treating so many patients day in and day out, and continuously the flow of patients are there. He told, okay, in the morning he told that I am sleeping for a while. Now you take care of the patient. If anything serious comes, you can get me up. And morning 7 o'clock, I find one 27-year-old guy coming to me, classically describing that after coming out from the bathroom, after having a bath, he was having severe retrosternal chest pain in the center of the chest with profuse perspiration, and he was feeling slightly breathless. When I examined him, his BP was slightly on the lower side, and the classical history suggested me that he is having heart attack. So I immediately, being an intern, naturally I was not able to treat at that time. I was just a fresher, and as per the protocol of the hospital, I cannot just treat him. So I immediately called my casualty medical officer, who was lying down nearby only in the side room. I told him that please come urgently, because I feel that there is a case of acute myocardial infarction. He just asked me what's the age of this person. I told him he's 27. So he was a bit reluctant to come. He said, oh, at the age of 27, you don't expect a person to get heart attack and all. But I told, nothing doing, just come. I shouted, and then he immediately came. He examined. He was convinced that he's having myocardial infarction. Immediately, he was shifted to ICU, which is on the ground floor itself, with the help of a wheelchair. And there the ICU registrar was there. The patient was kept on the cot, and the patient collapsed. Pulse BP not recordable. He was given CPR, he was given three shocks of 200 joules, 360 joules twice and all, and finally he survived. You can understand, unless the emergency treatment would have been, was given, which was not given, suppose he would have come, say 10 minutes late also, probably he would have died. So one can understand the importance of casualty and right diagnosis occurring, and the prompt treatment available with all the required equipments available at that place is going to help to survive the patient. So this is how we can say the casualty should be always on ground floor, so that immediate treatment can be given. There should be direct access to the main road, so that immediately the ambulance can come almost to the entrance of the casualty, or any vehicle in which the patient is brought, suppose the ambulance was not available. Directly the patient can enter the casualty so that prompt treatment can be given. Adequate space for vehicles should be there in the area so that there are no obstructions or no place where the vehicle cannot come inside. There should be separate entrance for this casualty apart from the hospital's entrance, which should be close to admission so that immediately the patient can be admitted. Medical records department also should be nearby. A cashier's booth should be nearby so that immediately the patient's relative can pay there and treatment can start immediately. Of course, one may not wait till the patient's relative has paid also at times if the it is a real emergency. And it should be close to radiology also, because anytime in case of multiple fractures or any fracture or something, X-ray may be needed. In case of stroke, CT scan may be needed. Of course, MRI, usually it takes little more time, so maybe it can be slightly delayed. But at least CT scan and X-rays are very essential to treat the patient urgently. So this is where the casualty flow should be there. Suppose there is a disaster, then disaster site where you are going to get the emergency treatment, you can do evacuation of the patients from the disaster area, where ambulances are available, helicopters are available. It's more common in the foreign countries. Of course, it's going to come in India, we hope soon. Then there are civilian vehicles by which also some of the casualties may be brought to your hospital. Then in the emergency department, waiting area may be there, where immediately the triage is done, where you are, if there are multiple casualties, then the casualty medical officers, the paramedicals and all, they are trained in how to do triage to see which patient needs immediate resuscitation, which is survivable. So if a person is dead, naturally he should be shifted to the side room and sent to mortuary. If the patient is having a severe myocardial infarction or acute cardiac resuscitation is needed, then CPR can be started, AED machine shock can be given. Then if there is a burn, then a team leader having the specialist in the plastic surgeon having burn experience will be treating this person to prevent the shock and other things. Anesthetist should be there to take care of the respiration of the person. The required emergency medicine should be given by him, IV or whatever is needed. General surgeon should be there, orthopedic surgeon should be there to take care of. Registration may be done. Nurses also should be available in the same area to take care of them. If you find that some of them are not having that much of injury, they may be waiting for some time to observe them, and then they may be sent to OPD. While some of them, if they require admission, they may be sent to the ward, and there may be holding area in which they may be kept. If there's a burn case, say chemical burns or some fire or something, they may be transferred to burn ward where registration is done. Nursing admin, nursing team, medical team who are expert in treating burns also will come into immediately to treat them, and required bed allocation will be done based on the percentage of burn and all. As you know, burns, there is a rule of 9, and based on the first degree, second degree or third degree burn and the percentage of burn, you are going to decide about the emergency treatment of the patient. Then, as we know, the sufficient number of beds should be available in the casualty itself to take care of them at point of emergency ward itself. In the side room of the casualty, one can treat them and then ship them in the ward at the earliest when needed. The dead patients will be transferred to holding area for some time, where the formalities of police and other things will be done, and then they will be sent to mortuary. The clerk to take care of the formalities of the admission, etc., can be there nearby. The resuscitation may be done by medical team. Investigations will be done by medical team. Dressings will be done by nursing team. And finally, early diagnosis, prompt treatment, and the right kind of referral should be done in the casualty to take care of all the emergency cases that have come. So what are the types of emergency care that can be taken in the casualty? an emergency medical service is a service which can provide not only in-house in the hospital, but even out of the hospital service can be given by them to give the acute medical care by the medical officer in the ambulance itself. Cardiac ambulance may be provided by the hospital when somebody is calling them, or the other hospital ambulances or other private hospitals are also available where they can be having a doctor in the ambulance who is going to take care of the acute care of the patient outside the hospital and then transfer to the hospital. Then there are agencies and organizations, both private as well as public, who are providing such kind of ambulances. Some of them are providing only the ambulance to transfer. Some of them are having cardiac ambulance, etc., where the treatment may be given in the ambulance itself, like CPR, the AED machine is available, oxygen is available, the spine board is there, etc. Then communication and transportation network should be there so that immediately the hospital is communicated that such and such multiple casualties have occurred due to accident or due to some industrial accident or spillage of chemical or some or the other disaster in the surrounding area, and they are going to come. How many number of people are likely to come? They may call the required medical team from home also or nearby, who can immediately come, and nursing people also can come so that the people can be taken care of at the earliest. There are trauma systems which is going to have a particular code, and then it is going to give the communication on the public announcement also if required, so that people are well aware of the people coming who are going to require the immediate treatment. Then there are rehabilitation facilities in the casualty also, which will take care of. The physiotherapy department can be there by the side, occupational health therapy can be there. Then there will be highly trained professionals in the form of intensivists, trauma specialists, orthopedic surgeons, general surgeons, physicians, etc. Some may be toxicologists who is expert in giving you the advice regarding poisons or snake poison, etc. Also, the public should be informed on the PA system not to surround the patients too much, not to create a chaos. They should be kept away from the patients. They should be given the relatives may be given the right kind of information, which is absolutely must, in shortest possible way. And periodically it can be displayed on the electronic system also, so that they know what's happening to their relatives. Then government emergency medical care may be combined with fire and police also. It is more common in foreign countries like UK, US, etc., that one number you dial and all three people will come: emergency medical service, doctor, the fire, as well as ambulance, police, etc. And they'll take care of. Even the firefighters are expert in giving first aid and various other treatments which will help in case of disaster where multiple casualties are there. There may be voluntary agencies like Red Cross or St. John Ambulance and other places who are going to help you. Some charitable people, CSR activities are done by the hospitals and other industries itself, etc. They also may be helping in emergency care for the patients. Private ambulance service, hospital-based ambulances are also available, which may be helping the casualties in taking prompt care of the patients. So what are the functions of emergency department? Well, to provide immediate life-saving medical care. Life is the most important thing for humans, right? We can't ignore. In fact, unfortunately, in countries like India and China and Africa, one can say somehow, the life is not that much valued, which is very bad situation. Just because we have got more population, it doesn't mean that we can afford to lose life of anybody, whether he's coming from slum area or whatever. So first and foremost function of emergency department is to save life as early as possible. They have to be treated in such a way that we can save life. Whether cardiopulmonary resuscitation is required, whether oxygen is required, whether AED machine is required, whatever is needed, it should be done promptly to prevent bleeding, to prevent the complication due to neurological complication due to any fracture which can press on the spine, or whatever is needed. One has to be prompt in diagnosing, early diagnosis and prompt treatment to first save the life of the person who has come to you in the emergency department. Then comes to provide emotional support to patients and his relatives. Well, there is a lot of anxiety with the patient who is involved in some acute disease or accident. So one has to give emotional support to that patient, reassure them, and tell the patient as well as to the anxious relatives that we are trying our level best to help the patient. He will come out of it and he will become all right soon. We are trying our level best to help him. Don't get panicky about it. We have got all the facilities available here, and in case we don't have, we are ready to transfer the patient to the nearest hospital where all these other facilities which are required can be taken care of. So, to provide emotional support to patient as well as relatives, both are important for a casualty department. It can be done by a medical officer, by nurses, by psychologists, by MSW who is there, welfare officer, etc., who is available, or maybe public relation officer, whoever are there, they can take care of this. So we are going to deal with some medical legal cases which are going to come to the casualty also. Now, what we mean by medical legal cases? It is not only medical cases, because they are coming to the hospital casualty naturally, either accident or due to disease they are coming, and they need emergency treatment, no question about it, right? Then comes legal aspect. Now, why certain cases become legal? Say somebody has attempted suicide. Okay. Now, why that person has attempted suicide? That one has to find out, because he is likely to attempt suicide next time also. So he should be referred to a psychiatrist later, but it becomes a medical legal case. Finally, there may be some emotional aspect of that person which has led to his attempt to suicide. Either he is having some psychological problem, psychiatric problem, or maybe the relatives are harassing him so much mentally that it has led to his attempt for suicide. So one has to find out that, and then finally one has to take care of that emotional aspect also from the relative's point of view, from anybody else's point of view also, to prevent the future mental stress for him, to prevent his future attempt for suicide also. Then comes, suppose somebody has been murdered and the dead body has been brought here, then also it naturally becomes medical legal case. Homicide, that is murder. Then accidental death, somebody has died due to vehicular accident. Somebody was crossing the road and some car or the bus or the tempo has crossed over it and the person is dying. So then also it becomes medical legal. So suicide, accident, homicide or murder, all these come under medical legal case. Similarly, when a person is brought dead from the home, it may be a natural death, but you don't know. You don't know the cause of death. So you cannot give a medical certificate for this patient. One has to go through the police inquiry and send the body to the postmortem department to undergo postmortem to find out what is the cause of death. In all medical legal cases, the body has to go for the postmortem to find out the cause of death, and then only the body can be given for cremation or whatever funeral rites are to be there for the community, it can be given. So all this comes to the casualty, because the police officer is supposed to sit outside the casualty and they are supposed to release the body after due medical legal procedures are done, and a casualty medical officer is also required to fulfill all the medical legal aspects of the case. Even when the accident occurs, any injury occurs, he is supposed to write down in detail about the history, how it occurred, where it occurred, why it occurred, where exactly he's got injuries, multiple injuries, the size of the injury, the depth of the injury, everything in detail he has to write, because suppose tomorrow or after a few days the patient dies due to these injuries which has led to some liver injury or the heart injury or lungs injury or anything else, spleen injury or anything, then naturally one has to find the cause of it in detail, and it becomes a medical legal case. One cannot just give a medical certificate for a normal kind of death, isn't it? So all these things are required to be taken care of in the casualty for medical aspects, and one has to liaise with the police department, and one has to have the forensic medicine expert there, pathologist there, to carry out the postmortem of these medical legal cases, or even the normal case. Suppose the patient was there in the hospital for few days, but the diagnosis was not arrived at before the patient dies, then also the normal postmortem has to be done to find out the cause of death. Then comes communication with media, disasters, and VIP patients. Communication is extremely important. That's why nowadays many medical colleges have started the communication classes for their doctors also. Unfortunately, earlier the doctors were not taught about how to communicate with the patients. In the present scenario of violence which is occurring in the hospitals with the doctors for death of a patient, for worsening of the patient, even if they have come in the critical condition, and some of the politicians, some of the goons and all, they are taking undue advantage of their position, and they are trying to destroy the hospital equipments, or even they are burning the things, or they are beating the doctors and nurses, saying that there is a medical negligence, even though there is no reason to believe that, because the patient has been brought in such a critical condition, it was not possible to keep him alive. See, ultimately death is in God's hand. Doctor is there to take care of the patient till the patient is alive. Of course, one can prevent death. We say that we are trying to prevent death whenever possible with whatever best thing we have learned and with whatever best equipments we have. But ultimately, death is destiny. One cannot prevent some of the times. So it is not necessary that for every death there is a medical negligence, or the doctor has to be beaten like this by the goons and all. It is very bad approach of the community people nowadays which is occurring. So one has to be careful, and that's why in case of disasters where multiple casualties are coming, in case of VIP patients where, you know, they are politically connected, and you need to communicate these things to the people around in a proper way, you know. So effective communication is very important. Then comes education, training, and research. Well, education is very important for all the people. They should know the basics of various diseases, how it is spreading, what is responsible for it. And unless you are educating, naturally they are going to spread it to others. They should be trained how to take care of the personal protective equipment which are required to be like universal precautions to be taken by the medical and paramedical people, the vaccination like hepatitis B to be taken by them. Even the paramedical and medical people need to be trained. Similarly, public should be educated, like in corona we have seen what is corona, how it spreads. It is through aerosols. So earlier days we thought that it is even by touch and all, right? So people were keeping their groceries outside for 1 or 2 days or 1 week before taking in and all that, because it was evolving. We were not knowing exactly how it's spreading and all that. But when you learn, you are educating them regularly. In fact, you must have seen every Sunday Professor Shashank Joshi, psychiatrist Harish, and Mr. Sapadnekar were there, who were taking regular classes every Sunday for corona. And most of the medical people, paramedical people, even the community people were listening to them every Sunday, 1 hour by one MD YouTube. And that's how education training is very important aspect, even for the casualty department. And even we can do a lot of research in casualty department by finding out why acute cases are occurring, how one can prevent it, what are the precautions one should take immediately in case of the prompt treatment to be given, early diagnosis to be done, what one should do. Like nowadays we have learned that pronation is better for corona patients. So one can try immediately when somebody is having, say, 92 SbO2, rather than immediately starting oxygen. One may try pronation in the casualty department itself, and if the oxygen level improves, he may not be given oxygen. So this kind of observations, analysis, all these things is going to help us in research for various diseases and accidents also. To provide transport services, both intramural as well as extramural. Now what we mean by intramural, that means within the hospital. So when a person is going to be transferred from one part of the hospital, there may be a big hospital over a period, span of maybe some acres at times. There may be multiple specialists available, specialties available, and maybe cancer hospital is within that, but say 5 minutes away from it, there may be a big campus. So the patient may have be transferred from here to there, maybe 1 kilometer, 1.5 kilometer. There also you need to have proper transport available for them, so that while they are being transported also, they can be taken care of, as well as for extramural. That means ambulance can be given for a person to arrive at the hospital from their home or from the road where the accident has occurred, or maybe after partly treating the patient where the daycare is also not needed, he can be treated at home afterwards. But because of his condition, say some fracture or things like that, where he should not move, he may be given an ambulance to reach his home, where the family physician can take care of him later. So all these come under casualty functions. Types of emergencies can be based on the type of emergency. One should know what first thing should be done, what must be done within few minutes for this patient. Say, within 4 minutes, if there is an acute MI, and if the oxygen doesn't reach the brain of the victim, he may turn out to be a brain dead person, even though afterwards, suppose his heart and lungs start functioning. So one has to be very careful. Within minutes, the CPR should start. Within minutes, within 1 or 2 minutes, the AED, if required, should be used to give the electric shock to the heart to revive the, if there is a ventricular fibrillation, to revive him, you need electric shock to be given within 1 or 2 minutes, 3 minutes max, like this. So what must be done within few minutes, one should know. Second, what must be done within 6 hours? Say within 6 hours, the patient should be given angioplasty and stent, or in case of stroke, within 6 hours, if it is done, then it may revive the patient fully where thrombosis has occurred. Okay, and you can find out this when antithrombotic treatment is required for this patient, if there is a thrombosis and not the infarct or the bleeding that has occurred. Intracranial bleeding, if it is there, naturally you can't give antithrombotic treatment for that, and that can be found out by doing emergency CT scan for this patient. So if within 6 hours these things are done, of course you can give the antiplatelet injections and all, and then prevent thrombosis to further damage the brain, and patient can recover fast. So time is life at times, or time is going to help us. If within a certain time, if you are doing the treatment, it is going to help to improve the quality of life for future life. Third, emergency, what must be done within 24 hours? So some of the things are needed to be done within 24 hours, and observation is to be done. Say in case of burn, in case of say a heart attack at times, if the angioplasty cannot be done, in case of any head injury, you need to observe the patient for 24 hours, 48 hours like that. What are the changes that are occurring in his brain? Suppose there is a swelling in the brain that is occurring. This is going to be seen in the symptoms and signs of the patient within 24 hours, like there will be dizziness, he'll go into coma, there may be some reflexes, like a dilatation of the pupil may occur, or due to opium poisoning, there may be constriction of the pupil, due to snake bite, you may get some of the things within 6 hours, 4 hours. So if you are observing, you come to know the effects of that, and then prompt treatment can be given accordingly. So types of emergency services can be major teaching hospital, where you have got all types of specialist and super specialist in tertiary care hospital available for various emergencies. There may be basic services available in most of the hospitals, where the casualty medical officer is going to give the first aid and the basic treatment before transferring the patient to the ward or to the tertiary hospital as needed. And standby treatment can be given in primary health care, where the doctor is giving only first aid and whatever best he can do with the equipments available and the drugs available, and then he can refer after giving first aid to the district hospital or wherever the other hospital or nursing home is available nearby, where better facilities are available to take care of the patient. So how you are going to plan the emergency services? Easy access to people and vehicles should be there. Your emergency service should be on the ground floor. It should, your people should be able to access the emergency service easily without any obstructions, and for the walk-in patients as well as for the those who are coming in the vehicles, there should be sufficient parking for the vehicles nearby only, within the premises, near the gate, so that patient can be immediately transferred to the casualty department with the help of wheelchair or a stretcher, whatever is required. Then there should be separate access for the ambulance, and there should be reserved ambulance parking so that there is sufficient. Suppose multiple ambulances come in case of multiple casualties which are coming from a disaster area, some major accident has occurred or earthquake has occurred or the building collapse has occurred, then naturally you may get, or some industrial accident has occurred, you may get multiple casualties there. Say some gas has been released, like in Bhopal gas tragedy you have seen, then in that case you may require sufficient parking for the ambulance also, multiple ambulances which are coming. You should have a resuscitation arrangement for pre-hospital as well as in the hospital. So the ambulance which are sent from the hospital to the area where the accident has occurred, you should be able to give the resuscitation to the patient at the site itself with the help of AED, with the help of experts for giving CPR or the immediate drugs to be given, like adrenaline, efcolline, atropine, whatever is needed, IV fluids. Then in the hospital also you should have a casualty department which is equipped with, say, all the oxygen, ECG, X-ray facility nearby, if required ventilator, whatever is required, it should be equipped to take care of the patient in the emergency. Then you should have a close watch and medical supervision of patients with the help of the RMOs, intensivists, registrars, anesthetists, etc. Based on the type of problem the patient is having, there should be special protection for violent patients also, because if somebody is having a psychiatric problem like schizophrenia or a paranoid schizophrenia or psychopathic personality, having due to that the changes that are occurring, the chemicals that are being produced in the brain of such a person may be leading to a violent behavior, in that case you should be able to take care of this patient immediately by giving them injection diazepam or the drip of the diazepam or any other hypnotics or tranquilizers. The psychiatrist should be available who will be taking care of this, so that other people are not being adversely affected by his violent behavior. All amenities or comforts for patients should be given in the waiting area in the form of drinking water, toilet, telephone booth, whatever is needed by the relatives also. Then there should be demarcated triage area, which should be well equipped. Even emergency OT should be available in immediate area. Now, as I told you earlier, triage is something where you are going to find out who are the patients who are dead. So immediately they can be transferred to the side room and then to the mortuary. You should see what is the condition of the patient who has come, whether he is survivable. If you feel that he is practically dead, then also you may not take him in case you have got multiple emergencies. Those who you feel that is likely to survive, immediately start CPR, give AED, then start the other treatment required as per the need. Maybe some fractures are there, some blood vessel has been cut or whatever, to prevent bleeding, to stop bleeding, whatever is required you can do. Suturing you can do, whatever is needed immediately. And then those who can be, who are not having that much of a problem, they may be sent to side room and then to OPD after observing for a few minutes or a few hours, or they may be transferred to ward if required. So based on the triage, you can decide what treatment to be given to which patient, and you should have emergency OT required. If required, the emergency operation may be done in the side OT which is there in the casualty itself by the orthopedic surgeon or the general surgeon, especially in case of multiple fracture or when the bone is penetrating the vessel or the lungs or whatever, where emergency operation is needed. The effective communication system should be there, whereby the super specialists and specialists can come within a short period of time to treat the patients. The transport should be available, and emergency investigations you should be able to do in the pathology lab attached to the casualty itself, so that immediately you can get the results of, say, blood sugar, the ABG, the blood gas analysis, the electrolytes, etc., to know in emergency case what treatment to be given for this person immediately. Effective disaster management program should be there. In case of any disaster, say earthquake, fire, cyclone, whatever occurs in the surrounding area, you should have, or the poisoning, snake poisoning, you should have antidotes for that. Or if a chemical factory is around, you should have antidote for the chemicals being used in that industry. So all the effective disaster management program should be there, and you should have adequate staffing of the doctors, paramedicals, nurses, lab technicians, super specialists if required, orthopedic surgeon, general surgeon, anesthetist, intensivist if required. So adequate staffing should be there. You should have standard operating procedures to minimize errors in triaging, errors in treating these emergency patients. You should have security and safety of patients taken care of, that while transferring the patient from the ambulance to the casualty department, the patient should not be having the dangling of the feet or hands where it can get injured by the side wall or side equipments or anything. Or the if he has got a spine injury, his spine should not be kept just like that. There has to be a proper spine board so that there is no movement of the spine which can lead to a major disaster for the person otherwise, because the vertebra can then press on the nerves or the vessels, and then it can lead to paralysis of the quadriplegia, etc. also, which should be prevented by taking proper security and safety of the patient, as well as of the staff. In case of violent behavior of the patient, the staff should not be adversely affected by the injuries and other things. Then teaching, training and evaluation system. You should have teaching, training and evaluation system for your employees. As well as for the public. Good communication system should be there in case of disasters to prevent a chaos occurring, and how to prevent further damage. One should announce that and tell them what to do in case of any such thing which is likely to adversely affect them in the environment, in the adjacent area also. So these things are, and then evaluate what is the effect of this. Then as far as the patient's area is concerned, you should have a reception where immediately the patient can be received, immediately the treatment can start, the admission form, etc., can be filled up by the relative. There can be trolley bay, he can be transferred on the trolley if required. There can be waiting area for the patients who are not that much serious, or for the relatives of the patients. There can be VIP room, where the VIPs can be taken care of separately. There can be space for security, staff, police, ambulance within the vicinity of the casualty so that they can do their job thoroughly well. Police is needed for medical legal cases. Staff can have a side room for taking rest also at night if there are no or very few patients and there are multiple staff available at night. So one has to take care of all these things, and even you should have ambulance nearby so that in case of requirement the ambulance can go to the site from where the patients can be brought, or from the hospital to the tertiary care hospital where emergency treatment can be given. This ambulance can be used based on the requirement. There can be public utility services like drinking water, washrooms separate for the males and females, for the patients, for the staff, for the relatives. Sufficient number of toilets should be there. There can be coffee and snack bar, the telephone booth, PCO, fax, computer, broadband, etc. Photocopiers if needed, like people may be at the reception, they may ask you to give you the copy of the Aadhaar card or driving license or whatever, or the previous reports or something. If you need, then they may ask you for photocopies if required. Then pharmacy should be nearby so that any emergency drugs may be bought or may be given in the casualty if it has just got over. So all these facilities in the patient's area are needed. Then in the clinical area, you can have a separate trauma room because multiple injuries can occur in case of a trauma disaster somewhere nearby. Accident, multiple accidents may have occurred in the highway. You know, in America and all, there are separate lanes for separate vehicles at times based on their speed. If one person is going from one to other lane, it's not allowed as far as possible. One has to give a sufficient notice before changing the lane. And suppose somebody is violating that, as in India we have seen, so many people are least bothered about these rules and all, and that can lead to major disaster. But because multiple vehicles can get accident due to this, because the control of speed is difficult to occur where they are going on a very high speed. Or there can be spillage of some chemical or petrol or oil, and then people don't know and suddenly they can slip and it can again lead to multiple injuries. So you can have trauma room. In that case, all the trauma patients can be taken care of separately by orthopedic surgeons, general surgeons. Examination and treatment room should be there where initially examination and first aid treatment, etc. can be given. There can be triage area in case of multiple emergencies, casualties if they have come, to separate out who are dead, who are requiring immediate treatment, who can wait for some time, who may be sent home, they can come next day for the OPD and things like that. To quickly segregate the patients so that there is no chaos and multiple people can be taken care of, or some more people are likely to come, so there also you can have staff works area. You can have a nursing station where the nurses are taking care of the patients. Emergency ward with adequate number of beds you can have, so that whatever number of casualties are coming, initial treatment can be given for 1 or 2 hours in the area itself. Then you can transfer them to the ward. Then storage area for drugs, linen and toilet for patients should be available nearby so that the basic requirement can be taken care of. There can be a janitor's closet nearby so that they are going to keep housekeeping properly, neat and tidy, because it's very important to prevent the infection, to control infection. Then duty room for residents can be there. House officers and interns can be there nearby. Lockers for staff should be there so that their bags or their some extra clothes or whatever they need to keep it in the lockers safely. There can be a seminar room, meeting room, where the interns or the paramedical staff who can be trained there, then there should be a room for anesthetists, because at times you need the help of the anesthetist in casualty, for in case of ARDS, or in case of major injury, in case of anaphylactic shock, where immediate intubation is needed, ventilator is needed, or there can be emergency OP in which immediate surgery is needed to be done, where of course the anesthetist will be required. Then there can be administrative area and circulation area, so accommodation for casualty medical officer, duty officer, consultants who are full-timers, anesthetists, intensivists, etc. if required, based on the type of services available in the hospital and the surrounding industries, etc. Suppose you get a lot of patients from the surrounding industries for chemical disasters or for burns or whatever, then you can have extra facilities for them in your hospital. Then office for sister in charge of the casualty. Then office for assistant, deputy, or medical superintendent, or in charge of the casualty also, because they are the people who are needed for taking care of the public relations at times in case of emergency, multiple casualties, in case of disaster, etc. For VIPs also, you need a medical superintendent to answer rather than anybody else answering them, because the press, etc. are also very notorious to give unnecessarily sensationary news to attract the attention of the people for their TRPs, etc. So you should be very careful. You should have a separate PRO in the casualty who is trained for giving the right kind of effective communication, keeping various things which are required to be kept secret, not to divulge anything to them in spite of pressure from the press, etc. So you can have assistant PRO, PRO, casualty, if required, even medical superintendent or deputy medical superintendent may be there in nearby area who can take care of them. Then circulation, you can have ramps, corridors, conveyor belts if required for transferring the multiple casualties, lifts for easy and smooth flow of the staff as well as patients and visitors and supplies. So there may be a separate lift where supplies can be sent. There may be separate lift where the patients can be transferred on the stretchers or in the wheelchairs, etc. so that there is no congestion and no injury can occur to them. So as far as the equipments are concerned, you can have all essential equipment needed in the casualty or emergency medical service should be available as per the requirement to take care of all the casualties or acute diseased patients who require emergency treatment to be taken care of. Say centralized piped oxygen should be there, suction machine should be there, airways, outlets, resuscitation bag, manometer, portable as well as wall mounted should be there to find out the BP or the air level or the water level, whatever is needed based on the type of patient. Then you need to have ventricular defibrillator immediately to give the shock to the patient if required, ECG machines and monitors whereby you can monitor the patient, you can find out whether he is having acute arrhythmia or atrial fibrillation, or there is ST elevation which suggests that he is having acute MI, etc. And accordingly he can be shifted if required and treated. You should have pulse oximeter to know the SpO2, the oxygen level in case of any respiratory distress, in case of asthma, in case of COVID, as you know. Nebulizer in case of asthma it is needed, ambu bag, vent mask, spacers if required, IV fluids in case of severe loose motion vomiting, in case of pneumonia, in case of severe malaria, dengue, you may need the, in case of any surgery needed, you may need to give IV fluids immediately to prevent shock, to take care of the nutrition before operation. Naturally, the patient should be nil by mouth, so it can be given only IV fluids. Then cut down set for IV line. When the patient is in shock, naturally the BP is going down, the blood vessels are going to be contracted, so it is difficult for you to get the IV line many times in that case. And in case of a chronically ill patient, or it is likely that he is going to take many days to recover, you may need a lot of fluids to be given to the patient over a period of days. In that case, it is better to give cut down set for IV line. So you should keep that ready. Utility table for whatever utility is needed, that separate table for eating, for doing some other work. You can have MSC basin, that means if the patient is vomiting, he should be able to vomit in a proper basin, which should be nearby, kidney tray, then slit lamp and loop. In case of eye specialist, if there is a foreign body in the eye, if there is an injury to the retina or anything, or if somebody is having glaucoma, severe acute angle glaucoma, then these things may be needed. ENT equipments may be needed in case of to remove the foreign body from the nose, foreign body from the ear, etc. Then equipments for operation theater, all the equipments based on the type of surgery needed. Then adequate number of trolleys, wheelchairs, stretchers, portable x-ray, because you need to do x-ray immediately for cases if the patient is having spine problem. Naturally, he cannot walk and go to the x-ray room. In that case, you may have to take portable x-ray, you may have to take portable CT, portable ultrasonography at times, and endoscopy may be done, MRI. Well-equipped pathology laboratory should be there to take care of all the various blood tests, urine tests, stool tests, etc. To check the blood group, to check the cross-matching of the blood. Blood gases, like blood sugar. In case of hypoglycemia, you need to give IV dextrose immediately. So all these things should be done immediately within the casualty itself. Then sufficient number of bandages, cotton, plaster, medicines, emergency drugs, all these things should be sufficiently available in the casualty to take care of multiple casualties at any point of time, 24/7. So what is the staffing and other requirements for the casualty? You can have medical manpower in the form of physicians, surgeons, orthopedic surgeons, pediatricians, anesthetists, casualty medical officer, intern, house officer, residents who are 24/7 resident medical officer. You can have nursing, full-timers, nursing staff, then paramedical staff in the form of ECG technician, OT technician, operation theater technician for various surgeries. You may have a specialist for that also, like cardiothoracic surgery, you may have a specialist for that technician who knows how to handle those equipments and prepare the OT tray ready for the surgeon. In case of emergency, then physiotherapist, lab technician, radiographer to take x-ray, CT scan, MRI, ultrasonography, whatever. Of course, for ultrasonography, you need the sonologist rather than the technician. You may have group D and C staff in the form of ward boys and safai walas and chokidars, drivers, security personnel, clerical staff, etc. To do their duties, there should be well-established policies and procedures, that is standard operating procedures, how to handle the casualty staff, how to handle the patients when there are multiple casualties, how to do the triage, what actions should be taken immediately. Everybody should know whom to inform. There should be standard operating procedures in case of disaster, in case of fire, in case of any other requirement for VIP and all. Then ambulances with equipments and efficient team should be there. Say cardiac ambulance is there, you should have intensivist attached to that ambulance, going with the ambulance to take the patient so that he can take care of in case of acute myocardial infarction. He can give CPR if required. If the cardiac arrest has occurred or ventricular fibrillation has occurred, he should be able to give AED. Then record maintenance is very important, especially in case of medico-legal cases, where in detail you are supposed to write the name, age, sex, identification mark. In case of injury, you are supposed, of course, you have to take detailed history. In case of injuries, you are supposed to write down in detail about each and every injury. say it has occurred how many centimeter above the left elbow, right elbow, below this, from the prominent point, how big is the injury, whether it is linear, whether it is deep, is it contused lacerated bone. Everything you are supposed to write in detail so that in future, suppose the person dies, one can find out that whether this injury was fatal enough or not. And postmortem findings also one has to correlate in case of that. So it's very essential in case of medical legal cases to write in detail everything. What was the observation? Suppose you find that the patient was having blue tongue, that means cyanosis was there, whether it was due to some poisoning, whether the patient has gone into hypoxia, due to that it has occurred. So one has to write down in detail each and everything for future purpose. Disaster preparedness should be there. Code blue procedure to announce the emergency. Now what is code blue? When there is a cardiac arrest, when patient needs CPR and AED machine, immediately you have to declare code blue so that all the required anesthetist, physician, the person having first aid, who knows how to give CPR, if required, ambu bag, venti mask, etc., the nasal mask or the mouth mask should be given, ambu bag should be there, if required, oxygen cylinder should be available nearby, the AED machine should be there to give cardiac compressions and airway. All these things are needed whenever the code blue is declared. All these people from various places, wherever they are, they'll come so that the patient can be given the prompt help to survive in case of emergency. So let's see, what are the physical facilities required for the casualty in case of 200 to 300 bedded hospital? So you need one main entrance, and it should be 8 by 10, 8 feet by 10 feet, that is 80 square feet. You need one waiting area, which should be 20 into 20, that is around 400 square feet. You should have one reception area where sufficient waiting should be there, and the people sitting at the reception should be having pleasant personality. They should know everything in and out about the hospital facilities available, where it is there. They should be able to guide the patient or the relative as required. And they should be able to telephonically also reply with required facts, figures, or required information whenever they are getting phone call from outside immediately, and with minimum time, so that other calls are not waiting for a long time. Similarly, you can have a four number of examination cubicles, which should be 80 into 4, that is 320 square feet area. You should have 10 observation wards, 84 square feet each, so that 10 patients can be taken care of in these observation wards. So 840 square feet area may be needed there. Then you need emergency x-ray room, which should be 12 into 15, that is 180 square feet. Emergency laboratory should be there again, 12 into 15, that is 180 square feet. You can have treatment room one separate, where the injections can be given, dressings can be given, 12 into 15, so 180 square feet. You can have a separate room for a plaster requirement for a fracture or something. That also should be around 12 into 10, that is 120 square feet available in case of 200 to 300 bedded hospital. These are some of the standards which have been developed by the experts over a period of time by observing the number of patients coming and taken care of in such a hospital, based on the market survey, based on the patients in the surrounding area who are going to take the help of the hospital in case of 200 to 300 bedded hospital. We should have a doctor's room, which should be around 240 square feet, where he is going to take the history of the patient, examine the patient. And of course, the relative also can sit across and he can give some information to that relative regarding the patient based on the provisional diagnosis, what all investigations is needed, etc. You can have nurse's duty room, which should be around 120 square feet. You can have one ECG technician room where ECG can be taken by the technician. That also should be around 120 square feet. There should be a room for cleaning and dressing. Again, 120 square feet. You can have one store room where some of the drugs are stored, some other equipments may be stored. Again, 120 square feet. You can have staff toilets and urinals, which should be two in number, so that separate for males and females, so 8 by 10. So total will be 160 square feet. You can have one water cooler so that the patients or the relatives can drink water, which should be a potable water, of course. Then comes police post, should be there near the entrance of the casualty. It should be 12 into 15, that is 180 square feet, so that police can take the relatives version, what has happened to the patient in case of medical legal case and all, and then you can do the further proceedings. Then you can have patients' toilets and urinals, again 12 into 15, that is 180 square feet. So these are the various kinds of physical facilities which are required for a hospital where 200 to 300 bedded hospital is there, and this is how one can take care of all the casualties, multiple casualties in case of disaster, who are coming to the hospital. Thank you.